Morning and welcome to Burlington East on this fine day. We're delighted this morning to have Scouts, Cubs and Beavers with us. We would normally have the guides, but they are camping this weekend. So keep them in your prayers when they're taking the tents down this afternoon, yeah. The high wind. I also invite you to join us downstairs. The fellowship is being provided by the scouting organization today. And while you are down there, you will have the opportunity to order syrup for this year. It's that time of year again, and the scouts are taking orders for, I can assure you, the best syrup not only in Burlington, but probably Canada. I'll leave you to look at the bulletins. There's just like one item perhaps you can take a look at, and that is we require greeters for next week. So if you're able to do that, you can let myself or Bob or Bruce know. And I think that's all the announcements.
Thank you, Gord. Our first, before we start our first hymn, I just want us to take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship. And before we do that even, I want to make sure I thank Helena for filling in today. It always adds so much. Thank you so much for doing that. So let's just take a moment and quiet our hearts and prepare for worship this morning. We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence with us as we worship today, and also that symbolically he is a light showing us the way in which we should live, which we'll be speaking quite a bit about today. Let's join together now in our call to worship responsive.
The responsive call is printed in the bulletins. Take delight in the Lord, who satisfies the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. Let us unite our voices in the first hymn, a well-known hymn, The Lord is My Shepherd.
seated. Today we're going to be talking about a number of very sort of fundamental things in our Christian life. And I wanted to say this because this is the point at which we do our prayer of adoration confession, as you can see in the bulletin. And when we talk about confession, we talk about sin, we talk about repentance, those are all big churchy words, but we are challenged to live as people who are in relationship with others. And one of the most important things is how we treat one another. And really, sin can be summed up in so many ways in the way in which we treat others. Summed up in the sense that there may have been times through this particular week, you may have said something to somebody that maybe wasn't very kind. Maybe you didn't say something to somebody that should have been kind and you forgot it or left it out. Maybe you were, not as helpful as you could be with somebody. This is all part of the umbrella we like to put under that word sin. That's all it means, is that we've been challenged by God to live a certain way, and often we don't. And this is our time to come before God and say, you know what, I'm sorry about that. I don't want to be like this. I want to live differently. Forgive me. Let me try again. So let's bow our heads now. We'll thank God for who He is and confess those moments when our relationship with others has not been as God's wanted. Bow our heads. God of abundant mercy, You alone can turn evil into good. You can turn sorrow into rejoicing. You can turn death into what we now know as everlasting life. And so we ask that You will teach us Your way of grace. And we thank You for that grace. And all grace is that free kind of love You give to us. So when we say we're sorry, You forgive us. Especially when, in particular, when we really mean it. And sometimes we need Your help even to mean it, so to speak. So merciful God, we come to You to confess that we've not always followed Your ways or trusted Your promises or believed the things that You've asked us about how we should treat one another. We often love only those who love us. We often only show kindness to those who are kind to us. We often only give only when we want to get something back. So we're asking, Lord, that You can forgive us for all those moments when we didn't love as we should have, when we didn't show kindness to others as we should have, especially to those who are hard to love sometimes in our lives, especially for those it's difficult to be kind because we know that no matter what we do, they're not necessarily going to be kind back. This love that You give us and ask us to live by is not a love that just does it because it's going to get something. It does it because it's freely given. Just as You've forgiven us, we forgive others. Fill our hearts with Your selfless love, and Lord, change our lives by Your matchless grace. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and now we unite our hearts together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Children of the Most High God, that's all of us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have received that free grace in good measure, spilling out and running over. We are forgiven. Amen. We join together now in our children's hymn and take note of how it's been sort of addended here. Lord, listen to Your children praying as the first time through. The second time, Lord, listen to Your children singing. And during that time, we'll have the children come forward over here for a time together. And then as they exit, we're going to sing the verse 3 that's noted there. Lord, listen to Your children praising. So listen to Your children praying, listen to Your children singing, and then we'll have a time together with the kids. That's hymn number 449. sit up here. Sit up here. I want you to sit there because I want to include everybody here in the front. And what we're going to do today. I have a question for you. Probably easy, maybe not. In this drawing, I want you to look at this very carefully. Now this drawing is hard to see because it's all one color. But there's a line right here at the bottom. You see it's marked. And then this line right here. Which line do you think is longer? This line or this line? Which is longer? You think the bottom one's longer, right? Anyone? Yeah? Any ideas? You think the top one's the longer one. How about over here? I'll show you close again. I've got two lines, this drawing, and there's a line that goes from there to there and a line from there to there. Which one's longer? The top one, right? Well, actually, if I got a measuring stick out, they're exactly the same length. It's called an optical illusion. In that, because the way these lines stick out and these ones stick in, they're both exactly the same length. Happens a lot. I'll give you another example of what I mean by that. Like this drawing here, the white lines or the light gray lines, are they the same length or are they longer than one another? They kind of look the same. This one's easier. They look kind of the same length. Although, this one could look a little longer maybe. Again, it's an optical illusion. Your eyes are playing tricks on you. And the last one I have is this one. Which line's taller? Yeah, which line's taller? Any ideas? This one? Yeah, this one's taller? It kind of looks it, doesn't it? But they're actually the same length if you measure from here to here and here to here. And it's an optical illusion because the way the lines on the outside trick you. If we folded them together, they'd be exactly the same length. That's right. So the last one I have is this. If I hold these up, one looks maybe bigger than the other. Is that true? Yeah, one kind of looks a little bigger than the other. Which one looks a little bigger? The bottom one looks a little bit bigger, doesn't it? How about if I do that? Which one looks a little bigger? Yeah, they changed sizes, didn't they? They changed sizes. There's a lesson here that we want to learn. Jesus tells us that we're supposed to treat other people the way we expect to be treated. And sometimes it's all about me and it's all about them and depends on who's at the top and who's at the bottom. But if we put ourselves together, you'll see they're both exactly the same length. And when we treat other people the way we want to be treated, you'll find out that is very true. So it's a golden rule that's called, to treat others the way you want to be treated. And it's sometimes hard for us to always see that because sometimes we think the person who's closest to us is most important and very often it's me, unfortunately. Yeah, that's a trick, isn't it? That's a good one. Boys and girls, that's just something to keep in mind when we're thinking about our Sunday school lesson as you go out for that today. And but before we do, can we just have a little prayer together and talk about that? Lord, thank you today for the Sunday school that's going to be going out. Thank you for Michelle teaching them. And Lord, we pray that we can all learn a little bit more about how it is that we should be treating one another and that we're not more important than others and others aren't more important than us. And we are to treat others the way you want us to treat one another, with love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll sing our last version with the Listen to Our Children Praising, thank you, and we'll do that and remain seated as we do. Now is the time when we come together to hear God's word read out loud, and we have lots of volunteers. Thankfully, again, this morning, I want to thank everybody for helping us with that. But before we do, I'd like us just to bow our heads so that we can pray to God for his wisdom. Gracious God, by your word, you provide all we need. You provide salvation, you provide wholeness, you provide abundant life. Now draw us close in your spirit so that we can discover your will and live according to your purposes as we hear your words read to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, I'm very, 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 very thankful that we've got volunteer readers this morning. It's always a big challenge. And I have a list here. And our Old Testament reading, I'll give to you in a moment, because Gord's going to do the Psalm reading. I'm so excited. Sorry. Thank you, Gord.
I thought I was getting a pass this morning. Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 23, and it's a little different because we all read it together. Yeah. And we will read the King James Version. I'll just give you a minute to find that. It's the last version in the Red Psalter of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you, Gord. Okay. I take two Sundays off, and I forget how everything works around here. Well, like I said, I'm very excited to have our guest readers today. I'm going to call on Marco Rubino. Come up. He's going to read our Genesis story. Come on up. I'm going to hold the microphone for you, and I'm going to make you stand here so people can see you. Just take your time. They've got really long readings today because I wasn't sure if I was going to have readers today. So we'll get through it. Right, Marco? We're going to get through it? All right. All right. You go ahead and start reading.
Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him to dismay. Were they at his
presence?
Then Joseph said to his brothers, come closer to me. And they came closer to him. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt, and now you're not distressed or angry with yourself because you sold me, for God sent me before your
to
preserve life, for the famine has been in these 2 years, and the 5 more years in which there will be neither
plowing
in the harvest. God sent me before you, preserved from you, and remained on earth, and to sent me here because God, he has made me
a father
to
Pharaoh,
and Lord of this house, and the ruler of all the land of Egypt. Your son, Joseph, God has made the Lord Egypt come down to delay. You shall settle in the land of
Goshen.
And you shall be near you and your children. Your children as well, your flocks, mm-hmm. your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there. Since
there are five more
families to come, that you and your household and that you have will not come to poverty. And he kissed all his brothers, went upon them, and after that, his brothers talked with him.
Good job, Marco. Thank you. He did very well. Hannah Jones is going to come up now and read from Colossians. Remember, Hannah, just take your time and nice and loud, and I'll help you if you get stuck, okay?
So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is
seated
at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. As God chose one holy and believed, clothe yourself with
compassion,
kindness,
humility,
meekness, and patience.
Yes.
Bear with one another, and if anyone has a
complaint
against another, forgive each other just as Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ
dwell
in you
richly.
Teach and
admonish
one another in all wisdom, and with
gratitude
in your hearts, sing
psalms, hymns,
and
spiritual
songs to God. In whatever you do, in word or deed, to everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father, taught him.
Very good. Thank you, Hannah. Wow. And Carson, who is Hannah's brother, is going to come up and he's going to read the gospel reading from Luke. Are you ready? You're all set? I know you are. You're going to do a good job. Here we go.
But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good for those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, if anyone strikes on the cheek, those who offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good for those who do good for you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. The reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for is kind to ungrateful, and the wicked being merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not commend, and you will not be commended. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back.
Very good job, Carson. Thank you. You know, I know that it's difficult, and when I ask adults to get up and read, and you get a whole week sometimes to prepare, these guys got this morning. So once again, good job. Let's just thank them one more time. I don't want to scare. I wasn't sure if I was going to give you that whole reading today, guys, but you did a fantastic job, and we really, really appreciate you helping us out today. It was a big job. You can all breathe now. Let's join together now in a song we sang apparently last week, but in my planning, I just left the hymns for Mo to pick, and Renata and I spoke about it, and we decided we like this one. We're going to sing it again. It's got a kind of an upbeat feel to it. So we're joined together now in Lord, the Light of Your Love is Shining, number 376. Please be seated. I titled this
service. Really, this, when we say we're putting a title on the sermon, we kind of, it's all about the service in general, and we try to pick songs and hymns and readings and prayers to match that theme. So giving is not getting, giving not getting is the way. And a better way to put that in some ways is the golden rule, and that's what we read nicely with Carson read that for us this morning at verse 31 and in Luke. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I was reading about different things about the golden rule today, and this came across my my desk actually earlier this week, that a mother was telling her six-year-old about the golden rule. I'd never heard it before. She said, always remember, she said, that we're here to help others. And he thought about this for a few minutes and then asked, well, what are the others for? And often we misinterpret sometimes this golden rule, especially if we're smaller, trying to understand all those big words and the concept. We're all here to help others, but sometimes we wonder, what are the others here to do? And that's what Jesus is addressing in this particular little reading that we have from Luke, and it's also in Matthew. Before we go into this, though, I'd like us just to bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, we pray that you will help us to hear today what you want us to hear. Open our minds and our eyes and ears, all spiritually speaking, and help us to just hear your voice. Sometimes it's difficult because we get here in a rush and there's lots going on and things getting set up and afternoon plans and things that can distract us. This is the moment that we need to just breathe, take a moment, and listen for you. And so, Lord, as it says in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. Golden rule. I want you to look that up today. Here's your challenge. Go on the internet if you've got internet access, and most everybody seems to in one way or another, smartphone or computer or otherwise, look up the golden rule. You'll find, if you especially look at for in images on Google, you're going to see a poster come up because it's all over the place where the golden rule repeats itself across a dozen different religious beliefs or religious traditions. And we could some ways come to the conclusion that all religions are the same. And that's what many would have you believe in many ways. There's a concerted effort by many of world religions to sort of create a unity by focusing on the similarities rather than the differences. And that's a wonderful and laudable thing because it seems that all religions believe in some sort of afterlife. We all believe in some sort of higher power, we being these various religions. They all believe that we should be loving and kind to one another. They all believe that there are so many similar things. Why can't we just get along? And that's very true. There are a lot of similarities between the various world religions and beliefs. There are also a lot of similarities between an apple and an orange, if you want to think about it. For that matter, there are a lot of things that we can see if we talk about a real apple and a plastic apple. One's real, one's fake. One's an apple, really, and one's not. And you discover this not by focusing necessarily on its similarities, but on some of the differences. And that's kind of where I want to go with some of this morning, very briefly. The things that Jesus says in this Sermon on the Mount, as we title this particular section, we read it in Matthew, and he has the blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. And he gives all these various sayings. None of these sayings are particularly unique. The audience that he was speaking to, especially when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, he was clearly speaking to a Jewish audience at the time. That's an Old Testament concept. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's one of the rules that's outlined in the law. The Greeks that might have been in the area, and there would have been Greek by tradition, Roman, I guess, by birth in some cases, but Greek by tradition, would have heard Socrates and others say similar things to them. do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If there had been someone in the audience when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount who was from India at that time, also probably would have recognized those words. The words themselves were not earth-shattering in the sense that they weren't any different than anybody else had been saying about how we should relate to other people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A good principle to live by. Some say in our today's world, that it's a little bit naive to live like that, but that's the challenge we have. I mean, really, who wants to be kind to everybody? And now we venture into some of the ideas and concepts that make the difference in what Jesus was saying at his time. Because as we heard in that gospel reading, he talks about sinners, that's the word that's used, but basically non-religious or non-faithful people. People who have no religious background will do kind things because they're going to be treated kindly. And that's what motivates them. They give to the poor because they know they're going to get something back. They're nice to people because then people will be nice back. But the reality is, and we all know this reality, and this is where Jesus is pushing the edge of the envelope for us, be kind even when they're not going to be kind back. Be loving even when they're not going to love you back. And that's hard. The story that we read is about Joseph. You know, this particular story of Joseph was made very, very famous a while back with the musical that came out, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And some of you are familiar with that play. I remember finding it a record in an old record shop, an original recording that was done in 1972 or 3. That's how long ago this was done. That play was originally written, that musical was originally written for a high school by Andrew Lloyd Webber. His kid was going there and he wrote this musical just as something to do for them. And it then got redone and now it's become world famous. The content of that musical stays pretty closely to the narrative that we read in Genesis. Joseph, just as a reminder, was son of many brothers. He was one brother of many, seven. His other brothers didn't like him. As it suggests in the Genesis story, and it certainly does in the musical, he was too good looking, he was too smart, he was too just everything. He even got a special coat from his father because he was his dad's favorite. His brothers didn't like him. So they didn't adhere to this do unto others rule. In fact, they throw him in a well, thinking he's going to die. And then they have second thoughts about that because his father's so upset that Joseph's missing. So they pull him out of the well, and they sell him as a slave. Their youngest brother, they sell him as a slave, and off he goes, disappears. And they report to their dad, he died. He fought valiantly, I think the musical time. He fought valiantly for him, but he died anyway. And off he goes to Egypt. And lots of things happen while he's there. But because he's faithful to God, because he lives by this golden rule of treat others the way you want to be treated, things start to happen for him, very positive things. He also prophesies about a famine that's going to take place, the one he's talking about in this reading today when he's talking to his brothers. He predicted that it was going to happen, and he started to gather, given the job of storing food, and he saved Egypt, essentially, is the way the story goes, because he stockpiled so much food during this famine that took place. And his brothers come back to him, as it says in the narrative and in the musical, because they're starving. And it modernized this concept a little bit. Remember, they're shepherds and they're farmers. So some guys get the audience with a government leader and they show up in their coveralls and work boots and farm hats and whatever else paraphernalia you want to put on there and come into this grand courtroom. And they're in an Armani suit or whatever, you know, and a special haircut he's got because he's much older now, stands this man, very impressive. And they're begging for help. Please feed us. And then finally, Joseph reveals who he is because they did not recognize him. So many years had passed. I'm your brother. And I'm sure they were thinking, uh-oh, do unto others as they have done unto you. And Joseph had the power. He could have at that point banned them and let them starve to death. But he didn't. In fact, as we read, you're going to move to another land where you will prosper, and I'm going to give you all the food you need. Because God has been faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. Because God loves me, I will love you. So we have this story of the Golden Rule in action in a story in the Old Testament. And it's groundbreaking in so many ways because we don't live that way, especially today, I believe. And when I say we, I just mean as a society. I'm not going to be nice to other people because I know what I'm going to get back. And traditionally, historically, one of the problems that we find in our church as we look back in time is that that's probably one of the biggest problems that we've had as a social, as a group, society, I was going to say. When I say society, I mean inner culture. People who've left the church complain about the way we treat one another. And often it's unintentional. I'll give you that. But when we get an opportunity, we're not always kind just to be kind. We're not always loving just to be loving. And partly it's, I suppose, what we've learned growing up in ourselves. I tried being nice. I tried being kind. And they weren't kind back. So I've had enough. And Jesus is saying, and this is the groundbreaking difference between his words and these common words, you got to go further. And remember the story when the disciples come to him and say, how many times should we forgive somebody? 7 times 70? It's not just putting numbers on it. He's saying, you do it all the time. That's how we live our lives. And there's a song that we're not singing today in particular, but one that we've sung here many times. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. And the depth of those words go beyond just those simple phrases. We're not just being nice to one another. We're loving one another even when we don't receive love back. We're being kind to one another even if we don't get any kindness back. That's not why we do what we're doing. And that's not why God challenges us in these words of Christ. Christ showed and still shows us love and mercy. Let's never forget the fact that we are all forgiven. All of us are forgiven by God through Christ. And that's a huge concept to get your head around if you're struggling with the idea of sin and you're struggling with the idea of the Christian faith. God has forgiven us and brought us back into the garden, if you like, of Eden, where Adam and Eve once were, because of this love that Christ has for us, the sacrifice that he gave to us. And it's great. Scripture tells us repeatedly how great it is. The motivator for us is that you're forgiven, you should forgive. You've been forgiven very much. You certainly can forgive. You've been loved very much. Certainly you too can love. The Golden Rule is not just something, nice words, but for us as Christian believers, these words are our mandate of how we conduct ourselves with one another, with all others, and all of God's creation. Think about these words from Paul, who's trying to build on this concept in Colossians. As God's chosen ones, that's all of you in this room, everybody, holy and beloved, clothe yourself. Think about that. Don't just put them on for a bit, but completely clothe yourself. It's not something you just do. It's something you wrap yourselves in. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all,
clothe yourselves, wrap yourselves in love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I'll close with this quote. If you contemplate the golden rule, it turns out to be an injunction to live by grace rather than what you think other people deserve. I want to say that again, and I want you to listen to these words. If you contemplate the golden rule, treat others as you expect to be treated, it turns out to be an injunction to live by grace rather than what you think other people deserve. Love the undeserving. Be kind to the undeserving. That's how it wraps it up. If you contemplate that golden rule, it turns out to be an injunction to live by grace rather than by what you think other people deserve. Amen. We'll come before God now with our opportunity to provide our tithes and offerings. And then, children of the Most High, in obedience to Jesus' words, to love others as we love ourselves, to do good and bless and pray for our friends and enemies alike. We do so by these monetary gifts because they help provide work and service and kindness to people in our community. We do that now. Amen. Gracious God, we ask a blessing on this offering. It's an offering that's given in faith to be outreached into our community, to be a way of loving our community, a way of being kind in our community. It's more than just money. It's acts of kindness. So bless the people who have given this offering. Bless the children who've come this morning, especially with their offering. And help it all, Lord, to bring about your glory and your kingdom on this earth. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Flowers in the sanctuary today have been placed, as you see in your bulletin, by Lou and Rose Tripp in loving memory of their parents, and also by David Wood, in loving memory of his wife, Eleanor. Thank you all for doing that today. It's great that that's there. We have quite a number of people who need prayer
in our midst, and this is our opportunity to do that. I'm not even going to go through the list. It's huge. We've got quite a number of people who are not well at the moment in our midst, not to say the least of Renata's grandson, who's I was talking, because I got back this week, talking at great length about just how it's, if any of you know people or have been through chemotherapy, you know that it can make you feel quite ill. And when you're only a month or two old, that translates into a screaming baby for 24/7, which is pretty much what's been going on. And then he quiets him down, and then that means that tomorrow we're going for more chemo. As soon as he feels a bit better, that's what's going on. So we're praying not just for JD, but also for that whole family, because it's just exhausting them, as you can well understand. I'm glad to see Ann there, too. I'm just pointing that out just quickly, because it's nice to see you at the church, Ann. And I know, and Fernanda, too, I see you there. So, but we all have lots of people in our lives, and there's quite a few in our congregation who need prayer. So I would ask that as we do that, think of those names. I'll give you an opportunity to say a few out loud and think of them in your hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this particular opportunity where we can gather in prayer to pray for other people. Well, it seems like it's a growing concern here in our own congregation, but it goes across the congregations and across denominations. As we age, and even as we think of JD, not even aging has a factor. There's a pandemic, if you like, that goes around this world, and every one of us in this room knows somebody in our lives who's been struggling with cancer in some respect, and we pray that you will be with those people in particular, and I think of them in particular at this point, because it doesn't just affect the individual, and that's terrible in and of itself, but it affects their families and their friends and the places in which they work. It ripples. And this is why we love one another and your challenges there, Lord, because no matter what we do, we're connected to other people. The things we do and don't do, the things that we experience ripple out and have that effect on others. So sadness can ripple out, sickness can ripple out, and the effects thereof. So the list gets really big all of a sudden. So Lord, we pray for folks that are in hospital, and we have at least two or three that are in hospital today. And we pray for people who are at home mending, and we have a number of them as well. We thank you for our answers to our prayers, Lord, for those who have been not well and have come back into our midst. And we thank you that you're healing and working and doing all that. But Lord, we take a moment right now, and so we've been doing for several months now. We take a moment and we say a name out loud, someone that you know, and Lord, that person's name is just their first name. You know what's going on in their lives, but by saying that name out loud, it pulls us all together in a focus and holds that name to you. Lord, even this week, as Renata and I talked about prayer being such a mystery, it's your will always, Lord, but you call us to pray. And the connection between those two things sometimes can be really confusing. But you ask us to pray for people, and you act. You act according to your will. And so now, Lord, we take that moment. We offer names out loud and in our hearts, faithfully. Thank you, Lord, for these names offered faithfully. Bless them. Bless the people who've offered them. Thank you for the names said out loud and those said quietly in our hearts. Prayer is a mystery, but you call us to do it, and you clearly act when we do. So we thank you, Lord, for this moment in time, this moment of tugging on your ear. And we pray this all faithfully, hopefully, and truthfully, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our last hymn this morning is All the Way My Savior Leads Me, number 699, and that's how we live our lives. Jesus leads us in everything that we do and motivates all that we do. Let's sing together now our last hymn, 699. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. For God is kind to all and full of mercy. Filled with life-giving spirit of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we bear the image of the Risen One and take delight in the abundance of what we have already received. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you His peace in your going out and your coming in, your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.